I want to preach on this little thought this morning. What are they thinking? Have you looked around the world lately and asked yourself, what are they thinking? Have you noticed that our country, I mean, they're making laws and they're making decisions and they're doing things, and you have to ask yourself, what are they thinking? I mean, many times it doesn't even make sense. They want to come and this new woke generation, they won't come, and if you don't think the way they think, they want to destroy you. They'll try to destroy your business. They'll try to destroy you personally. They'll try to destroy anything that's in their way. And by the way, I can say this. They want to destroy the history of this country. They want to destroy some of the great forefathers of this country. They also want to destroy some of the great foundations of this country that brought the blessings of God on this country. They try to change the fact of the country, but this country was founded upon this book. 92% of everything that was written in the Constitution and written into the Constitution and the other thing. Bill of Rights, I'm sorry, thank you. I had the B on my mind, but I couldn't get the rest of it out. But they were influenced by the Bible. And you know, the reason why this country has been able to stand like it has is because of the godly influence it had. It's not that this country was built upon any God. It was built upon the God.
Amen.
And therefore, it came from the book. And since then, our schools, you know, I have school books up to 1950-something. And in 1950-something in this country, and even in the 60s, the school books, you'll find when you turn in science book about where did man come from, you know where it takes you to? Genesis chapter 1 and 2. That was just in the 60s. Then whenever it asks you other questions, it refers you back in other subjects as well. It refers you back to the Bible. But all of a sudden, we all got all this wisdom of these liberals. They come in, they decided that prayer was harmful to students. The Word of God is harmful for students. They decided the Ten Commandments posted upon the wall is harmful for students. I remember in the 70s when they the Ten Commandments, and I remember here when they had taken out of our public schools, they had an auction of the Ten Commandments, and they made them come and flip every one of them face down so nobody would read them and be harmed. What are they thinking? They keep thinking that they have all these PhDs and all these DDs and THDs and all this stuff, and they keep thinking the Bible said that they would increase in knowledge, but they would get farther and farther away from truth. Ever learning, never coming knowledge of truth. And the Bible says in Daniel that knowledge in the last days would increase and men would be running to and fro. But just because knowledge is increased doesn't make it knowledge right. When we've gotten place in a country where it's all right to kill babies in the womb, millions of them, but we can't harm an animal, what are they thinking? When our educational system has come and they talk like they want to make race relations right, and all they do is try to, in this day right now as we presently live, they try to divide everything by race. Instead of bringing everybody together. Were there mistakes in the past? We've all made mistakes in the past. But we can't change the past. What we can do is teach everybody to love one another and get along and do what's right. But the direction they're going to, what are they thinking? And you look. Have you taken a few moments and looked at our young people? I'm not talking about our young people here. I'm talking about the young people all around America. What's being pushed upon them? I mean, you walk down and look and see, and you have to ask yourself, what are they thinking? Today in Mark chapter 5, I told the women this ahead of time, and I'll go ahead and put this disclaimer out. I'm going to preach on a maniac this morning, but not because it's Mother's Day. So I want to put that disclaimer out before I get preaching, okay? Has nothing to do with Mother's Day. Let's begin reading in chapter 5, verse number 1. Now this is after Jesus was with the disciples. He's on the ship. Storm came. He calmed the storm. They saw that he could control nature. And he had the power and ability to speak to the winds and the waves, and they obeyed. Then verse number 1, they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. Now Legion would be between 2,000 and 6,000. So evidently he had many demons inside of him at this point in time. Look at verse 10. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in city and country. And when they went out to see what it was that was done, they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they saw, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed of the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him, that's Jesus, to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd be with us tonight, or this morning, and Lord, speak to us, and give us something from the Word of God that we'd be able to see, that would be a help to us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now notice this, when Jesus came to the shore, this man came, the Bible says he came running to Jesus, and he knelt down and he worshiped. Now, when Jesus had come here, obviously this man had heard of Jesus. And we realize that he knew Jesus, who he was, or at least the demons knew who he was. And so when Jesus came here, he come and he bowed down before him to worship. Now, I want to share with you this thought about this sermon on what are they thinking. I want you to understand something. You can never have a right mind without Jesus. You'll never think right. I don't care how much education you have. I don't care how much knowledge you think you have. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. And so whenever you think that you have all the answers, You're only deceiving yourself. The Bible said when a man thinketh himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. There's only one place of truth. Thy word is truth, and the truth shall set you free. So here what we find is, in this godless world, the Bible says a man that says that there is no God is a fool. You say, preacher, I don't think you ought to call somebody a fool. I didn't. God did. And if you think there's no God, you're fooling yourself and you are a fool. Because one of these days you'll have to stand before your Creator and you'll stand there unprepared. The Bible says even nature reveals that there is God. Keep your finger there. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, notice if you would, in verse number 20, the Bible says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are what? Without excuse. Also, the Bible says that through the preaching, through their witness, that it is made known of God. Now, notice this, that this man had a personal confrontation with God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So when he came face to face with Jesus. But now notice this, that this man who was a maniac in his own mind, he would sit and he would cut himself and he was destroying himself. He had no answers for his life. Now listen to me very carefully. If you don't have Jesus, you may think you have the answer for your life, but you have no answers. Notice this man here, look back. He lived among the dead. Knows that he was destroying his own self. Do you realize that if you go without Christ and you reject Christ, you're destroying your own self? When you stand before God, you know who God's going to allow you to blame for being there unprepared? You have to have a personal confrontation with Jesus. And until you have Jesus, you'll never think right. You'll not only be destroying yourself, you'll also be destroying your family and friends around you. You say, preacher, I'm going to try to be the best friend I can. A good friend is one that is a saved friend. Someone who points you to Christ. Someone who leads you to do right. Not only that, but this man was filled with unclean spirits. Somebody said you give the devil a ride, you'll want to drive. And so whenever you let him intervene in your life, next thing you know, he'll be driving your life. He'll be controlling your life. Someone was talking about, Brother Junior was talking about alcohol this morning and different things and drugs and different. You open the door, and it may start out innocent, but it doesn't end up that way. It will always take you farther than you want to go. Keep you longer than you want to stay. Cost you more than you want to pay. That's the way it works. And this man, even though he tried to find solutions, he had no answers. The God of this world had took over his life. He was possessed with the devil. Some of the Jews came wanting to harass Jesus. He was bragging about the fact that they were Abraham's children. And the Bible says we were all children of wrath until we get saved. And so therefore, regardless of what you think, and you may say, well, preacher, I've got this life all figured out. No, you don't, not without Jesus. No man can be in his right mind without Jesus. You've got to find Jesus. Not only did this man not have the answer, look back in your Bible and notice that the world around him didn't have the answer. They tried to bind him with chains and fetters. He broke them. They tried to do everything in his world to keep him hemmed in and take care of him and control him. They couldn't. Now listen to me. Drugs. Incarceration, psychology, self-help courses, the world continues to throw these sayings. California now, they come up with a genius idea. What's best for the criminals is just let them back out on the street. What are they thinking? You know what they're thinking? They can't think right. They try, and by the way, who's filling all the jails? Who's filling all the asylums? Who's filling all these things up? These drug rehabs, the alcohol. The answer is not in 12 steps. The answer is not in self-helps. The answer is in the Lord. How many of you were once affected by alcohol? Were once affected by drugs? And one step toward Jesus. A personal confrontation with Jesus changed your whole life. Changed your whole way of thinking. Well, I can tell you this. He fixed my problems. We even begin in school anymore. A child, and sometimes we've seen it over here at this school. Mothers and fathers said, we just can't control our children. I think I'll take them psychiatrist and give them a few more drugs. When just a little discipline probably take care of the matter. Had one of the parents the other day come. They came to the event here. And their little girl was just sitting there being quiet and sitting still. They said, how's that possible? You just tell them they got to sit there and be still. It don't break their life. But it's a whole lot better than doping them up every day and sending them to school where they can't hold their head up and do a lesson plan. We've had many, and I understand drugs has their place in the right form, right place in medicine. But what we've turned into a society of starting at the very youngest children, and just automatically the first thing we start doing is that's the answer. We've gone away. I've heard parents say, well, we'll never discipline our children. You need to get in the book. The Bible says that if you withhold that discipline from that child, you don't love them. Not like you need to love them. But now look here. I'm not talking about being cruel. I'm not talking about, listen, I think the most hottest places in hell will be for people who have molested and abused children. I'm not talking about abusing children. I'm talking about loving them, caring for them. They know you love them. I had some of those parents ask me, said, how can you all get them to do it? I said, they know we love them, and they know we mean what we say when we tell them. It works. But the world keeps trying to find all the answers. And there's no real answers that they're finding. They're trying to deal with the symptoms, not the condition. The schools, they wonder. When our forefathers had the foresight, what makes this nation great? Because it was a Christian nation. They said, what do you mean? Said, because they've got God in their heart, and therefore they try to be good to their neighbors. They try to do the right thing, be fair in their trade and so forth. And not all people. But that's what made America great. And when you quit dealing with the spirit of children and quit for trying to get them saved, then all you got is the flesh that leads them. And you're destroying that child. What are they thinking? They don't look to the spiritual side of a child. They look at the physical side. But let me ask you this. Have you took a good physical look at our children lately? Let me ask you this. Have you took a good social look at our children lately? Let me ask you this. Have you took a good emotional look at our children lately? I can't tell you how many children I have dealt with so full of anger and hate. Children that's been abused. Children's been misused. Children's gone through things that a child should never go through. working EMS. Mark there worked with me in EMS. 20-some years. I've had 25 years of it. And we got called out, and we got to see all kinds of scenes as they were happening. The abuse. I'm sure you saw them brought into ER as well. And your heart breaks, and you see children put through things. I've seen men, grown men, take broomsticks to little girls. I've seen grown men take battery acid and force it in the mouth of a baby. You say, what's got into them? Evil. Wicked. The Bible says the whole world lieth in the wicked one. The Bible says the world is an enemy of God. Can I say this? You can't be of the world and think right. The Bible says you either love the world or love the Father. Notice this. This guy, he had no relief in his life. The Bible says day and night. America's greatest nation on earth. You know one of the greatest illnesses in America? Depression. I've been to places where we sat there and we ate one time a day a little bowl of rice, and I had to take jalapeno peppers and just squeeze it just to taste the food after about a week of it. I was at a place where the children had never tasted cold water, and we gave them a drink of cold water. They began to sing and dance and rejoice at the first drink of cold water they ever had in their life. And we, look at us. We have abundance. And you know our problem? We are so depressed. You know why? We've listened to psychology too much. Those of us who are saved, we ought to have something to rejoice for. As they sung this morning, I've been blessed. I thank God for where I've been. I love this country. Amen. I stand for the flag. I kneel for the cross. And I'm not ashamed of it. I think you ought to be ashamed if you don't. Somebody said, I think everybody ought to have their own privilege. Well, you ought to go over there and fight some of the wars that Brother Jim and some of them has fought for, and been in the midst of those wars and see how it feels. You'd have a different respect for this country when you know the bloodshed, and you've watched the bloodshed shed all around you during war. You'd have different love and respect for this country. He had no peace. All he could do is sit around and cry. All he could do is self-destruction, wanting to cut himself. I don't know how many kids we've had brought in here. Parents call and says, can we send our child to your school? And then the next thing we notice, they've had this problem of just cutting themselves. Relation. What are they thinking? Their only hope is to find Jesus. You want to get them in the right mind? Find Jesus. You know the sad part about it is, I've seen some that come here, and I've seen God begin to work on their lives, and the moment that God begin to work on their lives, the first thing their parents do is take them out of school and throw them to the world. Had one a while back, he called me, and he said, Brother Billy, I'm in prison. He said, I've been here for close to 10 years. He said, I just want you to know, 10 years ago, you preached a message. And ever since I've been locked up in these cells, he said, all I could do is think of the message that you preached. And I knew I should have been saved that day, and I rejected it. And he said, I just wanted to let you know that I got saved. Folks, what our children need is Jesus. You want their mind set right. Now notice that this man knew who Jesus was. He ran. He sat at the feet of Jesus. Even the devils knew who Jesus was. Thou Son of the Most High God, what hast thou to do with us? Hast thou come to torment us before our time? Jesus was the only solution that this man had. And folks, we can try all the world's solutions, but they'll never fix the problems your children and you have like Jesus will fix them. They'll deal with symptoms. Jesus deals with conditions. Amen. Look on, if you would. Look in verse 14. In verse number 14, notice if you would, the Bible says, and they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and country. Something wonderful happened. This man who could do nothing for himself, but self-destroy himself. This man whose life was imprisoned by his own sin and his own mental state of mind. This man possessed by demons. Something wonderful happened. He'd been tamed. He'd been helped. Not by the world. And by the way, it didn't take a program of 12 steps to get him there. It took one step to Jesus. I've said this for many times, and people disagree with me, but you listen to me. You won't get right with God through programs. You get right with God through Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me. And so therefore, if you want to get right, and the Bible says that once we begin to get saved, that then we begin to transform the renewing of our mind, the way we think about things. Look on. Now notice this. You would think the world, once they saw this man healed, they would rejoice. They'd be happy for him. And they'd just be sitting there just rejoice. But now notice what they did. First of all, they fled. Told other people, they came. It wasn't because they didn't believe. But when they came back, they asked Jesus to leave. It wasn't because they didn't believe what they'd seen. You know what it was? They didn't want Jesus, the Lord, to be the Lord. You know what's the problem with the world today to reject Jesus? They don't want him to be Lord. They want to go to heaven, but they don't want to be saved. Somebody said, well, I don't think you have to recognize Jesus as Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? Now listen to me. Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
He's the Son of God. He is a Savior. And you think that when they'd see this man, and you think that they saw Jesus and what Jesus could do for this man, that the man couldn't do for himself, that the world couldn't do for him, you think they'd come and they'd fall on their faces before God and they'd worship Jesus. But they didn't. They said, we need you to leave. You know why? They thought more about their pigs than they did about Jesus and the man. And can I say something? Our society has gotten so warped, the Bible tells us that we would get in a place where we call evil good and good evil. And we've gotten so warped, we put animals above children.
Right.
I don't believe it'd be cruel to animals, but I don't believe you exalt them to the level of children.
Right.
Now, look on. What happened to this man? Well, first of all, he clothed himself. He's running around naked and he clothed himself. Those who claim to be Christian ought to get a key from this. The world takes their clothes off. When we get saved, we all start putting our clothes back on.
Yeah.
Not only that, this man was sitting at the feet of Jesus. The world couldn't understand it. But he changed them. Why am I here? Because one day, Jesus called out to me. I came running to him. And I had a whole different mindset after I met Jesus. He changed my way of thinking. And those, therefore, that's why I'm here today. Somebody said, do you enjoy preaching? I don't know if enjoy be the word of it, but I feel compelled to preach. But I'll be honest with you. I don't know how Brother Eric does, but it scares me to death get up in front of people. When God called me to preach, I was like Moses. I said, Lord, I can't talk in front of people. Now I bet some of you pray, Lord, why can't you just shorten it down a little bit? But now look here. He was in his, look back in your Bible and notice in verse 15. The Bible says that he was not only sitting and clothed, but what? For the first time in his life now, he was thinking right. I'm so glad I got my thinking different. When the Bible says we're not of the world, we don't look at things the same way the world does. When I look at this world, I look at it differently. This is not my home. I love America. I want to take care of America. I don't want to litter America. I don't want to see people harm America. I don't want to see it destroyed like our politicians are destroying it right now. I don't want to see all that. I love it. But it's not my real home. I'm only a pilgrim passing through.
Amen.
I've got a home waiting for me. Amen? So it's got my whole different way of thinking. Now, look how the world reacted. The world rejected Jesus. They didn't seek Jesus. They sent him away. And they prayed that he would depart. They didn't want anything to do with him. Again, because you know what he done? He done something to their pigs. And their pigs was more important than the man's soul that was sitting there. And let me say something. There's a lot of people selling their children's souls for a bunch of pigs. For a little money. For a little prestige. But yet we continue to fill up jails, mental institutions, drug rehabs, suicide hotlines. I tell you, we've seen suicide, and Mark will tell you, usually when we'd see one, we'd see three or four, wouldn't we? I remember one day we were sitting there, we used to be able to listen to phone call come in. And we'd listen to phone call, and we'd hear the run, and then we'd jump in the ambulance and take off, and while the dispatcher was getting the rest of the information. I'll never forget this call. This man called. He said, I live at so-and-so street. He said, tell your EMS guys not to run the lights. I don't want to alert my neighbors. He says, now, I'm fixing to shoot myself. And he said, now, don't rush because by the time you get here, I'm going to be dead. He said, but I just want to tell you a couple things. He said, tell my wife that I put the insurance papers and all the necessary papers on the kitchen table. And tell her if she comes and she comes in the house, tell her not to come in the second bedroom on the left. That's where I'll be when you get there. And he said, I've covered the walls and I've covered the ceiling with plastic so that I won't mess the walls and ceiling up. But don't let her see me. And he said, now again, don't rush because I'm going to be dead by the time I get there. And sure enough, when we got there, he was in the back bedroom on the second door to the left. And he shot himself and killed himself. The world don't have the answers. Jesus has the answer. We're seeing this world continue to get worse and worse. The Bible says evil men will wax worse and worse. God didn't predict the world's going to get better. But we need to. Now let me give a word to those of you who are saved. Because the condition of the world that we see apostasy everywhere, social disorders, perversion. We see sinfulness, fear. Man, this pandemic that's come along, people have been scared to death. But God's people shouldn't be discouraged. Let me give you a few things you ought to be doing in the day in which we live. Number one, you need to understand what time a period that we're living in. We're seeing things as God said they were going to be. Number two, we need to trust the Lord with our life. The Bible says if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then what, Brother Rick? All things will be added to us, right? That's one of his favorite verses. Then we need to keep ourselves in the will of God. We need to watch and pray. Don't fall asleep. Watch and pray. We're living in perilous times, but we're living in very exciting times. Jesus is going to come soon. We need to stay in church. You need the church. Christians need church. We need to stay in the Word of God and study the Word of God to be able to rightly divide the Word of truth. And last but not least, folks, we need to keep looking up. That's our blessed hope. Well, what if they bankrupt our country? Jesus is coming soon. Well, what if a war breaks out? Jesus is coming soon. What if this happens? What if that happens? I don't know. I don't know what may happen in this country, where it may come from, but I know this. I'm like Paul. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. And so what I'm doing is this. I'm just trusting God. And I'm not going to get tore up when pandemics come. I'm not going to get tore up when presidents change in the White House. I'm not going to get tore up. I don't like it, what I'm seeing. I don't like their thinking, but I know where their thinking's coming from. It's not coming from the Lord up above. What are they thinking? They're thinking like the world. They're thinking like their father. He likes to destroy and destruct everything. He's a killer. He's a murderer. He's a liar. And they're full of it. I don't like it to see what they're doing. But I have one in which I trust. And I know this. The same Bible that tells me about Jesus is the one that tells me that God's still sovereign. He's still on his throne. And he ordains every leader of every nation. And so therefore, if he's allowing this nation to go this direction, there's a reason. And we need to just draw nigh on God. Maybe tonight, this morning, as we stand and get a song of invitation. If you're here and you're not saved, I want you to understand something. Now listen to me. What I said was not meant to be demeaning, but I want you to understand something. I don't care how much you try to put your logic together, you'll never think right until you find Jesus. When Jesus comes into your life, he changes your whole way of thinking. He changes your whole perspective. Now, you don't have the flesh influencing your mind and thinking. You also have the spirit made alive that influences your thinking, your affections, your imaginations. And so therefore, what we have to do is we have to trust and lean upon him. And so this morning, if you're here and you're not saved, maybe God's dealing with your heart, you need to come. Be no greater day. And maybe you just need to come like the man did, that maniac from the tombs. Maybe you just need to come and have a face-to-face personal meeting with Jesus. Say, Lord, I need to be saved. I need help, and only you can help me. And come unto him. Maybe you're saved, and you just gotten away from God, and you just need to come. Say, God, help me get back to where I need to be. So I don't be discouraged. So I don't be fearful. Allow these things and be so anxious in my life that I can just trust you and depend upon you as we sing. How about this morning? Would you come?